Welcome to episode 99 of the Pickup Podcast. Got a full house again. It's your boy Marcus here with co-host Ant and Reggie. What's up, my boys?
Yup.
So, we're going to talk about that NBA draft, some of what, you know, ties into that free agency and stuff, and what's going on in the offseason. So, and some NFL offseason stuff. So, yeah, Steelers will be right back.
Cute.
Man, my boy. So, NBA draft was Thursday. Friday night. You know what I'm saying? Your boy, Paolo, Duke got another number one draft pick. A little turn of events. I don't know if y'all have been following, like, you know, the draft projections leading up to, but Jabari Smith was very almost entrenched as the number one pick for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Paolo was talking about going as low as three. You know, because they were saying Jabari, Chet, then Paolo was a lot of projections. And then Orlando, basically the last, like, 48 hours was like, yeah, I don't know. Maybe we like Paolo.
Yeah.
What do you guys feel of the draft order in general? Y'all saw any interesting picks that y'all or trades that y'all want to talk about?
I will say I'm not going to act like I know a lot of these guys. But I did hear, like, you know, the chatter about the top three picks, and it definitely seemed like it was between Jabari and Chet. And I think because I was in the gym when they drafted these niggas, and I was surprised. Like, okay, I was like, what I seen from how do you say his name? Ben Carroll. That's how you say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. From what I seen with him, he's got the skills. He's got the size. As long as he's just as aggressive in the NBA. I think he'll have a promising career, man. He just from what I saw more so later on in the season last year. I mean, obviously I was rooting against him, but he didn't. I would be scared when he hit the ball, but then he kind of would bail us out and bail the teams out a little bit. And I don't want to really see that in the NBA, man, because you got to bring it to people, man. And so that's the only thing I hope. That's one of the things I was like, I hope he. You know, fixes, and obviously he's going to learn and stuff like that going forward, but I hope he fixes that.
Yeah, Reggie?
You know, nothing that I feel like truly stuck out. Obviously, Sacramento is fucking dumb, but I feel like definitely Orlando made the right choice. I also just want to speak on Orlando's young core, which is almost insane. Like, I don't know too much about their coach, but I really hope that they get some very, very good staff in there, because, I mean, from the Wagner brothers to Cole Anthony, I think they just picked up Bol Bol. Like, they just have a ridiculous amount of young names that just flourish through that camp. So I hope Paolo just fits right in and dominates.
They got dude I be getting all the Jalen's confused, but they got they got the Jalen dude from Gonzaga last year.
Yeah, Jalen Suggs.
Yeah, see, because I wanted to call him Green, but that's doing the Rockets, right?
Yeah. And honestly, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I was just thinking about how last year when the Rockets picked Jalen Green, I was like, man, they picked the wrong Jalen. But obviously, I was wrong there.
I mean. We're talking about young core. I was actually going to talk about the Rockets. Just talking about what they're putting together.
Likewise.
Did you know they just made that trade? You know, they got Trey Burke. You know what I'm saying? They got Jalen Green. They're going to move, I think, Eric Gordon for another piece. You know what I'm saying? They got Kevin Porter.
Yeah, they got too
now
many.
They got, I mean, now they got Jabari Smith. Ty Washington, you know, I'm thinking that's
John Wall still
something. Well, I mean,
I know he's not gonna play, but
whenever they move him, they're gonna get something for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, so I feel like they're on the rise as far as those top three teams that made picks. I was really hoping Paolo kind of fell to them, because if they did, you know, I like Paolo better than Jabari Smith for that roster, anyways.
Yeah,
but Jabari Smith still. And adding Ty Washington, I think that's a good that's a solid base to go with if you're talking about replacing John Wall. Basically same skill set, really. Just a little bit, you know, obviously more to develop. I really like what the Rockets are doing as far as building on from the basically losing Harden and starting from scratch. You know, some people think it's a process. I mean, sometimes it is a process, but I mean, what, year two of this? And I think they're already on their way.
They definitely hit the marker with Jalen Green last year. That's a great beginning piece. Getting Kevin Porter in there from the Cavs helped out tremendously, obviously.
Actually getting Kevin Porter to play.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so, you know, I personally think that Jabari Smith complements those two a little bit better than Paolo would have, in my personal opinion. But to that same testament, I think that Paolo complements the Magic's roster because I feel like they don't have a true dominant wing that could play almost that deep in the trenches realm outside of Wendell Moore, but still get outside because Wendell Moore doesn't do anything outside of 10 feet. And then you have like the Jonathan Isaacs and whatnot, but they really don't contest in the paint. So finding that mid-level wing that can really do both is something that I feel that they really needed. And I would like to see what they can do there, obviously, because like you said, the Rockets are the young core of the West and the Magic, I feel, are that young core of the East.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, you being a Hornets fan, you are –
look, man.
A could be Hornets fan. I know that you obviously could have other slight feelings because of, you know, Miles Bridges, LaMelo, and company up there in Charlotte are just as fantastic. But, you know, it's really coming down all about coaching at this point and what you can get to complement these pieces.
Man, let me skip down to the Hornets.
Yes.
I really don't care that much about the other teams right now. Because Hornets are pissing me off right now, but. So we drafted, we had 13 and 15, right? We drafted Jalen Duren, Memphis, 13, who some people consider the best center in the draft. It was really between, from what I've been seeing, Jalen Duren and Mark Williams, as far as, you know, your top center in the draft. We drafted both of them. Flipped Jalen Duren to New York, who flipped him to Detroit. We got 2023 first-round pick from Denver and four second-round picks.
Well, Shane, might as well be 5 second-round picks.
I mean, Denver
is going to be good this year.
Denver is going to be good this year. I don't know how good, though, because that West is the West is kind of a question mark.
I mean, the air. They made the playoffs, and they're getting their second and third best player back.
I mean, that's true. Denver is a team to watch as far as, you know, the West like I said, like, it's not the greatest trade, but I think it could have been worse. I mean, like, could have traded it for a mid player.
You essentially traded it for three possible roster spots because there's no way all five of those picks make it onto the team.
Absolutely not. And I think we're moving a first, and we're moving our first next year, possibly that first, and at least one of the – because we've got the Knicks, two Knicks second-round picks. They're going to be very early. Talking about low 30s, probably, the Knicks. Unless they get Kyrie or some shit like that, then we're fucked. But,
yo, what are the Knicks doing?
The Knicks are
– I have no idea what the hell they're doing.
So, I mean, allegedly, when they packaged Kemba with Jalen Duren from us to send over to Detroit. Now, I actually really like Detroit making that move because, I mean, that's another young core not really talking about. You know, they got Cunningham up there. I kind of wish that they were able to keep what's his name up there from last year?
Grant?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of wish they were able to keep him with the people that they have now.
I think they want to see what's up with Sadiq Bey.
Sadiq Bey is on the rise for sure. Kind of came out of nowhere. But yeah, I mean,
Kemba's on the expiring deal, 9.2. So I get that.
I say fuck it. They buy Kemba out. I bring Kemba back. Charlotte, let him rock out. We do need depth, point guard. I don't think Kemba's a starting point guard anymore.
Oh hell no, he's not.
But I mean, if he's he's serviceable in spurts, which is what we need. Because if you ever watch the Hornets play, you know, when LaMelo goes to the bench, like,
goes to shit.
Team dies. Ball movement dies. Especially last year, you know, we had, or year before last, we had Devontae Graham and Terry Rozier kind of able to balance out some of that. But, you know, they're both kind of trigger happy themselves. So sometimes it would still die, the ball movement, depending on what kind of night they were having. But,
yeah. Devontae Graham not in New Orleans?
Oh, no, I'm saying the year before. Yeah,
oh, traded okay. New Orleans. Okay. Okay. Gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah. But we, you know, a lot of people are upset about the Hornets trading for a first and 4 seconds instead of getting a higher
an pick, actual an actual player.
Yeah, that's like the nail in the coffin for me. I kind of had hopes to, like, you know, maybe get on that train, but I'm like, man, with all this shit that's been going on, I'm just like, and then there's a lot of talks that Miles Bridges, they might not re-sign him. I don't know if that's bullshit or not, but
that's a money, a cap issue space, which is what I think is one of these trades have to get done before he's signed. Because Hayward, he's really the one that's holding up a lot, that $30 million a year.
Who is he a good fit for?
I mean, there's a couple teams that want him. Detroit said they wanted him. And so when I heard that Detroit wanted him, I thought we were, and they said we traded Durin to Detroit. I thought maybe we packaged. Hey, we couldn't dump that. That's what I'm saying. Like, I don't get it because my idea going into the draft was we had two first-round picks. We're going to move two of them for a player at least, either ours now and then the next year one and then use our pick this year on Mark Williams because I knew we were getting Mark Williams regardless. That's basically what I've been hearing for the last, like, 2 weeks is that Mark Williams was, like, a lock if he was there. And I didn't see Mark Williams going lottery really by anybody else because it's super – 4-3 heavy draft coming up. There's only like two guards taken in the lottery, which is kind of wild to me given how guard heavy the league is now. But I mean, I guess, you know, that's part of the reason that everyone has a guard, really, if you think about it. But yeah, and so Mark Williams was basically the lock for the Hornets to get at either 13 or 15. So when we drafted Durin at 13, I automatically knew, okay, we were going to flip him. Thought we can get a little bit more than that, but I mean, I'm not really mad at a first and 4 seconds. But getting Mark Williams right afterwards, I think kind of softens up the blow because either we're going to use one of those draft picks paired with next year's draft pick, trade for a player, package Hayward in a trade to dump, you know what I'm saying? Like, dump that contract. But you'd have to basically pay someone to take Hayward's contract. I would feel like, or I feel like if they're actually being serious about the Westbrook trade, we get a first out of that. Cause there's no way that we take Westbrook's contract without, you know, being incentivized to.
You know what I find? I mean, maybe it's just the game is that everyone knows all these draft picks and these trades kind of are worthless yet. They still take them. It's like everyone knows it. And then they'll take them so that they can move them for the future trade. And it's kind of like kicking the can down the road type of thing. I don't know. It's just funny to me. Like,
which I think is what we did. That first that we got from Denver, I mean, we know, like, yeah, we'll probably end up with a lottery pick next year. Are we going to actually take two people next year when we can already barely sign the people that we have coming up? Probably not. So yeah. I would feel that we're going to use them to acquire either, you know, we're going to dump, like, on somebody else. So that we can actually get a player, like one player, instead of having to get two. That was my idea. Now, the fact that we actually did pick up a first kind of keeps that in play. Because, like I said, we still have next year's first and that first that we got from Denver. So if they still wanted to move two picks for a player, it's still possible. That's one thing I kind of did like about it. Like, it's not like we traded a first for literal seconds, like all seconds. Like, we still got a chip there to play with.
Yeah.
So. But how do you guys feel about choosing Mark Williams over Jalen Durin? Especially Reggie.
I was actually going to ask you that.
Yeah.
I think it's a foolish choice.
You think so?
I do. I personally think that not only does Jalen Durin fit what the Hornets have going on as a roster better, but I think he's essentially more – I wouldn't say more upside, but he definitely has more of this – new NBA's caliber of a big threat, more so than Mark Williams. Also, you don't think LaMelo to Jalen Duren sounds fucking fun? I think that sounds completely better than Mark Williams, in my opinion.
See, I ain't seen Duren play, so I'm not really familiar with him, but I have seen old boy play for obvious reasons. I know how he plays, so I get what you're saying about, like, if the other guy, I'm just looking at his 6'11", 250. Yeah, he looks, and I'm looking at some of his highlights and wingspan and all this. I can see why you would say that. I don't know. I don't know what they're trying to do down there exactly. So,
I mean, Mark Williams isn't a slouch either. You want to know his measurements? He beats him in the measurements, you know. 7'1", 240. And I want to say his wingspan was like 7'7", or some shit like that, the combine or some shit. Like, I know that he measured was like off the charts. And I know a lot of people, that's when Mark Williams started rising on some boards. Because I know some people were looking at Mark Williams as like late first. And you're like, oh, he might be rising to lottery status just from the measurements. And obviously, you know, defensive player of the year in the ACC, one of the best shot blockers in the country. Sophomore versus freshman, you know what I'm saying? Like, there was that leap that you saw that he took from last year to this year. I mean, most of that was playing time, but, you know, still just the fact that, you know, he was able to do more when he was on the court kind of made the beginning of that leap at the end of the last season. And then coming into this season that just ended, he obviously came in as a important role player. I actually think that Mark Williams maybe isn't – I think he's probably a better fit even if he's not the higher ceiling player. Because of what the Hornets, what I think they want to do as a team. Like, I don't think that we need a guy that's stretching the floor as a center. Like, we need a guy that's actually going to bang. We need a traditional center. Like, we have guys that have four guys on the court that's going to stretch the floor. We need a screen center. We need someone that's going to, you know, bang on the boards because it's going to be a lot of missed shots. I know who's on the team. I know who can shoot.
Yeah.
Not that many. It's not that many dudes.
Well, see,
we need a defender inside, and Mark Williams is a better defender.
He is. So he has. They saying on this thing, he has a 9'9" standing reach. So that's pretty impressive. See, if they had hired D'Antoni, it would make sense to me to like for Duren because D'Antoni he's just kind of run and gun type of offense and shit.
Yeah.
And so, but what you're talking about. We're having a real traditional big man. It makes sense.
But even then, he had like Capella down there, and made that work. You know what I'm saying? Same type of deal there. So that's why I say like the kind of offense that we're building, it really does kind of resemble what I think should be like that model that the Houston Rockets had, where LaMelo would be our Harden, just one that you know a little higher IQ.
Who's the four right now on the Hornets?
Man, right now we're kind of rotating that four position with just a few players like PJ Washington. Yeah, they're saying it's PJ Washington, Gordon Hayward spent time at the four. That's what I'm saying. It's a real small ball lineup that we've been running.
Real small.
Isn't he always hurt though?
Hayward?
PJ Washington?
PJ Washington.
He's in maybe and out. Most
emotionally. No, let me stop. Let me stop. I ain't the one to be talking. Let me stop.
But at the end of the day, you know, like I said, like I don't even mind like running where we basically have two threes, you know, or you know, a one and a two threes and a center. If you have a legit center, like our issue is that we have PJ Washington like basically playing like a small ball five in some lineups. Where we get it's like Mason Plumlee we had like as our center, like. He gets into foul trouble, now what? You know what I'm saying? What are we doing? Like,
yeah, that's nasty.
Having guys like we had no real interior presence because Mason Plumlee's decent for what I'm talking about we want to do on offense, like as far as, like, setting solid screens, passing the ball from the top or whatever like that, getting, you know, people in the right places. Like, Mason Plumlee's actually better than I expected, but defensively he's ass. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can't be playing the Hawks and having John Collins end us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Nothing against John Collins, but like he can't be the one to end us.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like Trae Young fucking sucked. Yeah, and we getting blown out. You know, like you see what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. Nah, from what I've seen from Williams, he could let his nuts hang down there, because there's, I mean, they're still like bangers, but there's a lot of, you know, small ball type of motherfuckers in the league, and dudes who don't really want to bang, they want to hang out at 3-point line. So I could definitely see him making his presence felt on the offense and defensive side of the ball for him. So I see the vision that you see. Like, you done convinced me on the vision. I just want to see. I still don't believe in that franchise, man, to make the right decisions, dude. Like, just overall. You know what I'm saying? But that one, I could see from what you're saying, I could see how that would work.
Nah, they're going back 5 years. You're taking LaMelo and taking his offense back to the 80s and the 90s. Fast forward.
Well, speaking of taking it back.
Stretch the floor, give him some isolation ball, throw them a little bit. How is Mark Williams in the pick and roll?
Mark Williams was pretty good at it in Duke. That's what I'm saying. Like, because Duke loved, or when, you know, K had big, he would love to set, you know, the double high pick and roll up top, get a switch, hopefully, and then get your guy isolated. Because that's what he would do a lot with Wendell Moore. Or other, but, like, weirds.
I guess Wendell Moore is a good topic to bring up as well. Because you see what that translated to, even though, you know, they ran that similar type. I just feel like Mark Williams is more of a inside the paint, body down. He can create for you outside and kind of, I wouldn't say stretch the offense, but definitely get you an inside outside threat. But I just feel like for what the Hornets could capitalize on with more of that stretch five position, you'd want to go Jalen Duren. Now, I definitely can agree to what you were saying with Ant. I just feel like they should take it a different direction, and they probably would get a lot more positive results from it.
Hey, man, you mentioned taking it back, man. So I'm going to switch this up a little bit, because this really pissed me off actually more than anything draft-related. So the Hornets – you know, at the end of the season, they let go of James Borrego. Said it was, you know, he did what he could. Teams brought up as far as he could take it. So we're going to go in a different direction. And by different direction, y'all know what happened with Kenny Atkinson, you know what I'm saying? He kind of dubbed us real quick after the Warriors won the championship. He said, yeah, never mind. So what we do, we hit up that old thing, Steve Clifford, and he back.
Yeah.
Man, I hate it for us, man. I'm about to go back to the Mavericks, man. Mavericks is up anyway.
Man.
See, I'm going to see a Clifford move, man.
I think it's, again, going back to the grave.
Literally.
Yo, when I seen that, I was just like, what the fuck, man? Like, and then I just seen this morning, like, I didn't know Mitch Kupchak was still there. And I'm like, yeah. Mike need to stop fucking around with these UNC dudes. Get him a real fucking GM, a president. Stop. Matter of fact, he need to step away. Step away. Let niggas, because he's just not good at making decisions. I don't think he's really made many good decisions outside of what? What we got to say? LaMelo and Bridges?
Yeah.
Maybe a few other guys.
Trading Kimball for Rozier.
Like, those are things that you kind of were, like, forced to do. Like, well, I don't want to say forced, but LaMelo, that was, like, kind of a no-brainer type of thing.
Right.
And then, like, you know, Kemba, that was kind of like he was leaving. So let's get somebody for him type of thing. So he's just not good, man. He's not, man. And and so it's hard to, like, honestly root, like, get on that bandwagon, man. And because this is like, y'all just keep making shitty moves. And, you know, I think they had re-interviewed D'Antoni after they got their face played. But then now, I mean, he could stick you up, you know, for that money. Because
I think that's what happened, man.
Yeah, and it was like, fuck you. And then it was like, we'll go back to our old thing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but
nah, we couldn't get the girl we wanted, so I'm going to go back to this bitch. You know what I'm saying? That's what it feels like. So that's wild. It's weird when a team rehires a coach, but I've seen that happen before. But at least those coaches were good the first go around. Like, were more than just like what Steve Clifford was, is what I mean.
Right.
Like, so they were like championship level coaches that got rehired and shit.
Right, and that's my thing here is that Steve Clifford, we're going to, like, really get down to it, other than the fact that he's the old name that we fired to bring in the guy that we had just fired, Borrego. Steve Clifford is not a bad coach, which I kind of understand slightly, like, what the thought process was. It's like you can swing and miss on, you know, because they're scrambling right now. Like, Kenny Atkinson was it.
Yeah,
you know, they had settled on him. Kenny Atkinson already called all the staff and said they were going to meet with them and all that stuff. Players knew that he was coming. Like, you get that far into it, and then he said, and then, you know, he reneges on you. I mean, you're scrambling now because, you know, week of the draft, and now, you know, options are slim.
So, not that this is a great option, but is Terry Stotts, did he get hired by anybody?
I don't know. I haven't even heard his name in the process.
Because he was in, I think, that Lakers process. So I didn't think he was a bad coach at Portland. So that's why
I don't think so either.
I just felt like there were other options besides going back to Duke. But I think
Steve Clifford did in Orlando. Steve Clifford went to Orlando one season, took him to the playoffs. Mm. You know, or two seasons, took him to the playoffs. And I mean, they got smoked, but still, but I'm saying they were there. So he's good enough to get you there.
Yeah.
Which, unfortunately, James Borrego really was not. My biggest issue with James Borrego was he's supposed to be an offensive guru, you know, coming up from under Pop's system and stuff like that, able to know how to get people, you know, shots, which he was, but then came down to we were lacking defensively, which is what Steve Clifford was great at. You know, like some of those years, the Hornets defense, you know, was good enough to basically keep us in games above our talent level, which is we had playoffs a couple years with Steve Clifford, but the offense was so bad that it was just Kimba and nobody else. Well, now it's kind of the opposite. You know what I'm saying? So I guess the idea is, okay, if you give the same coach that succeeded with this but lacked the offense, but now we have the roster with the offense and he can bring, you know, the defensive intensity, maybe that'll balance out. And I kind of see where they're going with that, but it's just an optics look. It just looks terrible. It's fucking awful. And if it doesn't work, like if we don't immediately make the playoffs this year, no, it's a hard no.
Yeah, I feel like also, man, this is like may have residual effects down the line of trying to get good people, whether it's coaches, execs, or players, when they just see shit like a coach agreed and then reneged, and like it just looked like a shit show. And it's not like Michael Jordan had like the greatest of reputation of being an owner and stuff like that. So like, it's kind of hard to build your franchise up when it's just always it's kind of getting to the point of being a laughing stock, man. Because if we didn't have LaMelo, I mean, people don't really – I don't hear people talking about Charlotte ever, like outside
absolutely
of –
absolutely not.
You know what I'm saying? So, like, it's already, like an afterthought. So, like, it's just not helping, you know what I'm saying? I know Mike, he ain't going to, like, sell the team or nothing, but I'm going to be real. And it's crazy, but I wish he would. I'm going to be real. I wish you would. And he's the only black owner, but he's not good, man.
I will say he's doing better on this because I consider this the second build of the team. The first, you know, when he first bought the team and then we got, you know, Kemba Jefferson or whatever, like that little run of the team. This is better than that. Or it has the potential to be better than that.
It's more entertaining, but at least they was getting to the playoffs, you know what I'm saying? And actually, like,
what was that? A couple times, yeah.
What was that, like, twice. Against Miami? Like, I remember at least that series, even though they lost, you know what I'm saying? And
yeah, I went to game 7. I mean, that was cool. And that was, you know, like I said, that was a 3-4-year stretch that we were good.
Yeah.
And then another 3 years where we were just mid and not even – like, we were, like, 8th, 9th, kind of where we are now still, but, I mean, like, it wasn't even –
it's just more entertaining. At least it's entertaining, and you got a few names to point to. Yo, while we're on this, I know we about to get off this. Yeah, what's up with your boy Miles Bridges and the lean and shit?
Look, man, this is – I can't wait for the 30 for 30 on this team, man.
Oh, did I bring this up already? I don't know if I brought this up already.
No, we didn't. Like, let's talk about it, man, because I can't wait for the 30 for 30 on this team, man, eventually. It's like Jordan recreating the cocaine Cowboys. I need it. I need it. If he said this is what's necessary, you know, I ain't mad at it because, you know, Miles Bridges, you know, he's a rapper first. Let's be clear. He's a rapper first.
Who is it? Real Trench Baby.
RTBNB.
RTB. Real Trench Baby. That's funny. at least he actually like kind of. I don't. At least he actually from a place that you consider like the trenches, because you know you got your boy Ja. You got your boy Ja over there acting like Sumter is just like, I ain't that familiar with Sumter, but I know I don't be like, oh shit, let me not go through Sumter.
I mean, yeah, I mean Sumter's a country,
yeah,
trenches if you would call it that.
This nigga, I'm looking at this picture now.
You got on Sumter and not come back. Come on,
yeah, now. But that's for another reason. But I'm looking at this picture now. This nigga got a raw cone. I can see, he got the drink, and then his I can see the cone, the raw cone sticking out.
Look, man, so you really mad at like that, man?
I ain't mad at the weed because that shit is basically legal in the NBA now. They not drug testing anymore. They never gonna reinstate that.
The lean is crazy, though.
But the lean is crazy. Because, nigga, hey, you an athlete, my nigga. Nigga, have you not heard of Jamarcus Russell, nigga?
Man, so you got like, P.J. Washington dating IG models, LaMelo, you know, going with the Cougar models. Like, his bitch is, like twice his age or whatever. She's, like, almost 40.
Oh, who that?
I forgot her name. They was talking about it on the TL. Yeah. There was... All of them was, you know, going in on it.
Okay, who is it? I'm seeing mad girls though when I put LaMelo girlfriend in.
You know what I'm saying? She alright. Yeah.
I don't know who it is. Okay, here it goes. It's an older girlfriend. Oh, she's white. Older girlfriend likes tweet about age gap. So Kim is 14 years older. Oh yeah. No. I don't know how old she is. Okay, gotcha. Okay, she look good. At least she look good.
I was gonna say she all right, but I mean, like, you know, they got a lot going on that's not basketball.
Yeah,
down here in Charlotte. So I mean, you would hope that it's a fun group, right? And it's gonna pull everybody, you know, together if they're able to have fun together. But, I mean, I think that you know, teams that have the camaraderie perform better normally. It's just getting down to the, you know, those extra practice sessions that teams be having and whatnot. Like last year. The Hornets went to, I think it was Miami, and had a big practice session together. And they started the year off hot, y'all remember. And it kind of fell apart a little bit when LaMelo got hurt again and Gordon Hayward got hurt. But I feel like that kind of camaraderie is what's going to push this team through because the talent's there, you know, the discipline or whatever. Because, you know, we also had Montrezl Harrell getting caught pushing pounds of weed, you know. That was the other thing that they were talking about. Just need a 30 for 30. So, I mean,
yeah, it's gonna be like the Jail Blazers of the South.
Look, man, it's the one thing to get. Hey, if this gets Charlotte on the map, I ain't mad at it.
Yeah, I just that whole thing with Trez sounding like some bullshit. As far as not that he had it, I think obviously he had the weed, but
that he got stopped.
The reason why he got surged.
Yeah,
that's the oldest reason the book. Now, some people were saying he had like weed actually on him, or he volunteered the fact he had weed on him. I don't know if that's true or not. After
fact, North Carolina, it is not legal up here, at all.
Yeah, he was in Kentucky, though.
Or he was in Kentucky. You're right. Yeah.
I don't think it's legal there either. But like, I don't know. It sounded like I don't know the whole story yet. But when I first heard it, I was like, that just sounds like some bullshit. Because you know, cops, that's their favorite thing is to say, "I smell weed," and that's give them a reason to search you. So even though it's supposed to be vacuum sealed, supposedly, my nigga, why is it not in the trunk though, nigga? If you have that much, they probably did still smell it. Cause, dog, why ain't you have it in the trunk? You had it in the backseat, dog. What are you doing?
Probably riding around smoking.
Probably so.
Three pounds?
He had the weed on him, but like they were smoking and they smelled. You know, that's what prompted them probably to find the fucking pound.
Oh, yeah.
He seems like the type of man. I mean, come on. First off, you're in the NBA. 3 pounds is chump change, bro. I get to go get 3 pounds right now. So, like, what's the point of traveling yourself with 3 pounds? So it wouldn't surprise me if he was also sitting there riding, smoking a blunt, chilling.
My nigga.
Lanes. I don't know.
The only reason I had 3 pounds in your car is you just came from the weed man's house. And matter of fact, because you're an NBA
player.
He's in Kentucky. My nigga, you an NBA player. The weed man should be coming to you, dog.
Facts. You should have 3 different layers, like, below you.
Actually,
the weed man doesn't even know you exist.
Yeah, your boy should be going to get the weed.
Exactly.
So yeah, but that is actually his fault.
Fuck these man. Dudes are I, big I, tripping. Big yeah. tripping. I mean, the cops suck too. I guarantee the cops absolutely suck. But I don't doubt that he didn't prompt anything as well.
It was just dumb.
Hey, man, shout out to Chris Carter, man. Get yourself a fall guy. Everybody don't need to be directly involved. You don't got to be in the
trenches. I'll take that charge. I'll take that charge for you, dog.
Yeah, bro. Set my fam up. I'll be out in 2 years. Hook me up.
Yeah, keep my books full. Exactly. Like you said, set my fam up.
We straight. Sure.
Let's girl see, might get fucked while you're away, but
whatever. Buy me a new one.
Shit, man. Speaking of buying women, man, let me stop. That's crazy. Hey, that ain't right. a segue. Yeah, y'all saw in the NFL, Deshaun Watson settled 20 of 24 of them cases.
No, that's bomb.
that's crazy.
In the wake of the overturning of Roe versus Wade.
Ain't oh, that... my God. I don't want to talk about that. That's crazy to me, man.
Yeah. That, that's another podcast, but I definitely got feelings on that, but, you know. But, yeah. Yo, Deshaun Watson, a nasty nigga, man. I know if Wendell was on here, he'd be like, but nobody proved you didn't actually, you know. Come on, dog. He contacted, like, 60 women from IG. I think that's what the number was. And, if anyone has ever gotten a real like massage, like from a masseuse, like I've gotten one like in the last like year and some change, I stick with that one. Ashley, shout out to Ashley. I don't go to nobody else. If she ain't working, then I ain't going because I know she going, you know what I'm saying? She know what she doing.
She and know so, your body. She know what you need.
Exactly. And so he's got all these resources to get great sports masseuses. Matter of fact, because I'm sure you know, there's levels, and there's people who specialize in, you know, motherfuckers who getting in car wrecks every play. You know what I'm saying? Basically, you know what I mean? And so, come on, man. You know that nigga was doing nasty shit. And then the way they structured that new contract with the Browns.
Oh, yeah. They knew this was coming.
It wasn't even just that they knew it was going to come. If you had heard all the shit that they were saying was in the contract, it was just really nasty. Like, that nigga knew he did some shit wrong, dog. Because otherwise, the contract wouldn't have got structured away with the wording that it did. Because it wasn't just like, oh, if you get accused or anything like that. It was like some nasty shit. I can't quote it right now. But if you look into it, you could find out what how it was structured. And that's just crazy that a organization would structure for not to like, oh, we're going to pay you $1 million because you might get suspended this year. Not that part. But the part of like, oh, if this comes out, then we still can't like use a morality clause against you type shit. It was that part that had me like, wow, like the Browns are nasty. That nigga's filthy. And that nigga did that shit.
I don't care what he did. I don't care what he did. He did it. Yeah, they, whatever he said he did, he did it. Yeah.
Every story is disgusting too. Every single story. And it's all almost similar where it's like, man, not only did you do this, but you did this like all the time. This is just a regular day for Deshaun Watson. Like, let me ruin someone's day real quick, being the weirdest motherfucker on the planet. Not only do I have millions of dollars and access to sports therapists and physical therapists and the best therapy probably on the planet, but I have access to all types of other like mental stability. But no, I'm gonna take my time out. I'm gonna go hit the streets and find some random massage therapist. That's like, oh man, this could be like great for my career. Absolutely not. This just took like the worst turn of my life. And he's just like, nope, I'm gonna do that shit again tomorrow.
Like, and it's like, why massage? Like, do you have a massage therapist fetish? Because like, you can go buy, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can go get your escort or whatever, exactly. And they have her, you know what I'm saying? Like, and do the whole role playing thing, dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you doing, dog? So that's why I say he's got an issue. Like for real, for real. Like, I'm not even trying to be funny. The nigga has an issue.
Yeah, I think this should be, like, study. I think this should be, like, a course study as, like, what the hell is he thinking? What's really going on here? Is this an early case of CTE?
Yeah, and niggas need to understand, like, from the perspective of, like, dealing with women. Like, dude, that is, like, that's like the nigga that's just like, yo, I'm gonna shoot my shot at 100 women type of thing. And one of them gonna say, yeah, type of shit. And then, like, I'm gonna just push it to the limit of what I could do because he didn't, like, I think it might have been like a couple where they say he tried to like, you know, put his joint in their mouth, but most of them was just like him like trying to move their hand or, you know, down there or humping the air and all this other shit. Like just trying to go all the way up to the line right before like rape, basically, or sexual assault, basically.
That's what I'm saying. A lot of it was nasty. And then there was a couple of them there's one in particular that I remember, and I know we talked about it last time, you know, she said she ended up going through and fucking him, basically. But it was more so she was there for a legit massage. She said she knew him. Like, he wasn't a stranger. She had been with him a couple times, hung out. So she was comfortable with him, and he did that. And she was like, I mean, that's not what I was there for. She just thought it was weird how he went about it. Like, it would that's where we get back to what you're saying. Like, that's someone that he could have just fucked her. He literally could have just fucked her. And she said she was okay with that. But she's like, I don't know why he did all the weird shit. Like, I was there to legit give him a massage. And she said, I went along with it because, you know, he could have fucked me or whatever. And she was, you know, consensual. That's the thing is that shit makes it, to him, makes it okay. Yeah. Like, oh, she went along with it. So someone else might.
Fam, I just, and I know we're going to probably wrap this up, but I just always been in the mindset, I don't really want to be talking nobody into fucking me. I want to fuck people who want to fuck me. Like, that's just been me. Like, I've never been trying to, like, talk a chick into, you know what I'm saying, coming over, whatever. It's like, yo, you got to want this. Like, for real. Like, it's got to be obvious that you want this type of shit. Like, I ain't trying to. It ain't multiple times of me trying to fuck you. Like, that's just weird to me. It's always been kind of weird to me, you know.
She needs to take my draws off.
Exactly. I make them put it in. Like, just so I know. Just so I know, first time, I need you to put that in. Just so, you know, we good. But anyway.
I know what you mean.
Pause,
yeah. If necessary. But, rest in peace, the Goose, man.
Man, I hated to see that, man. And old boy from the Ravens.
Jalen Ferguson,
yeah. I still don't know what happened with him, man. It might be drug related or something.
I gotta pull her right now.
It says police said
no signs of trauma found, no foul play expected in the office. Yeah, so they're probably going to do that autopsy, so it might be some weeks before we find out what's up. Yeah. And it's been a few different athletes, and even in basketball, somebody else, I think, in basketball died.
There's been a lot of athletes that have died this offseason, all very young, very young. I don't know if this is normal, but, like, from what's his name? The quarterback from the Redskins and the Steelers, from Dwayne Haskins to the Cowboys player just died like last week as well in a car accident.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that one.
Yeah, and then you have Jalen Ferguson, like Ant just said, as an NBA player. Like,
yeah, I just can't find his name right now.
It's insane.
I think it's like Caleb something.
Caleb Swanigan, Caleb Swanigan.
Yeah, 25. 25, Monday night.
And all this is within, like, the offseason. You know what I'm saying? Just the past, like, 2 or 3 months.
He died of natural causes. That's what it's in. Allen County Coroners. What does that mean? No, you don't die of that. No.
What?
I want to see that autopsy, dog. Like, they got to do an autopsy on that.
Of who?
Caleb Swanigan, a 25-year-old.
You don't die of natural causes. He was the one from Purdue that was like 400-something pounds when he was younger, right? He could have
some
heart issues and stuff.
The last note on here does say, in an interview with ESPN in 2017, he spoke about his difficulties controlling his weight and of a childhood without reliable access to housing or food. So maybe, but that's still not natural causes. Like, if that has something to do with it,
yeah.
That's why I want to see what the I want to see
his heart just don't give up after 25 years, and he was obviously in the best shape of his life, like 2 years ago.
Yeah, because I'm looking at a picture of him with the Blazers, and he looks like an NBA player. You know what I'm saying? He don't look like Oliver Miller or nothing like that. Rest in peace.
That's insane. Rest in peace to all those men.
Yeah.
Speaking of death, man, that's a terrible segue. Even if you said Tyreek Hill said he got death threats for the comments he made about Patrick Mahomes. That's crazy, ain't it? I know Reggie loved to see it, man.
Reggie
like,
did it.
What you think of them comments? Reggie made it.
Yeah, he deserved it. No,
he deserved it.
I'm kidding, okay. Hey, man, don't step to the king.
Reggie made
the
no,
I think as soon as I heard it, I thought, okay, well, if I'm Tyreek Hill and I just got traded from one of the best situations I ever could have been in to a possible career changing, not in a good way, I'm going to hype this man up as much as I can. Yes, you are God. Hell yeah, this man's better than Patrick Mahomes. This man is Jesus. Have y'all seen this shit? Hell yeah, bro. He's good. Come on. It's nothing more than that.
But that's the thing. He didn't even say it was better. He said it was more accurate.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, bro. Way more accurate. Because he knows he's not crazy. He said the right thing. Yes, sir. Have y'all seen what this man could do? He puts the ball right in my fucking hand like no other. This shit's butter. Like, me and him, we're God together. I'm telling you. Fuck that. Nothing more than that. And he's smoking crack, by the way.
Yeah. And I don't think Tyreek Hill's a good person, to be honest, but that's a whole nother
story. Yeah, he's another terrible person who, but, you know, whatever, he's cheating. People love that.
Yeah.
Fuck him.
I mean, I think there's levels to being a terrible person. I don't know if he's on. I don't know what level he's on.
I think he might be at least just above the average NFL player, which most NFL players are kind of
terrible,
shitty people. Exactly. So if he's just above the average NFL player, then, like, I don't know if I can give him a pass. Like, none of these people are. I mean, we were just talking about, like, Deshaun Watson. I mean, yeah. At least he's not Deshaun Watson.
Hey, yo.
I mean, he just threatens his girl and his kid. That's all.
Yeah. Well,
and who knows? Put in his trophy case, not Deshaun Watson.
Not Deshaun Watson.
That's what it is. That's going to be on his Hall of Fame bus.
Right under no longer plays with Patrick Mahomes.
Man, I just don't think those comments. I liked it, to be honest.
I loved it. I knew what it was.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's great because we all know it's not true. You might as well say it. What else are you gonna say when you get asked those dumbass questions, right? Oh, how do you feel going to Tua from Patrick Mahomes? Okay, yeah. How do you feel from going from
Kansas City? Yeah,
yeah. Like, what are you gonna say to that?
I do hate those fucking. You know, that just remind me of the finals, dog. Some of the questions Lisa Salters was asking, I fucking hated them. I was just like, why? Just give him the trophy, nigga.
Wasn't at one point they asked Steph what he learned, and he said,
No, it was Draymond. And he was like, okay. Nothing. What'd you learn about yourself? Nothing. At least he didn't leave her hanging, though. He just expounded and said some other shit, but it would have been funny if he was like, none, and just looked dead at the camera.
Straight up. That would have been half of it. No, but shout out to the Warriors. We all knew this would happen. We all said it. They were the best. I told Ant they're gonna be back.
Hey,
also, hey, cap on that.
Yeah, like Marcus kind of talked me into like last episode, and then I was listening to another pod this week, and they was talking about who they drafted and all this other shit, and I was like, damn, man, my whole take might have just changed in like the last week, because I was like, these niggas are bugging saying Golden State's gonna be back. I started thinking, I was like, I don't believe in the Suns. It's just like a lot of, you know, Utah's a joke. And I started thinking, I was like, man, the Clippers, they said Kawhi still ain't playing 5-on-5. LA's, Lakers are a joke still.
I mean, Dallas is the next best option.
Yeah, but just even though.
Because how long can you hold that man back? And by that man, we know who we're talking about.
I mean, but Brunson might be gone too.
Fuck Jalen. We don't care, bro. Fuck Jalen Brunson.
I mean, I don't see Dallas getting back to the conference finals next year.
I think Dallas is simply one key piece away, one consistent key piece away. They can play that mid-level wing position, similar to what I was saying Paolo could do for the Magic. Somebody that's consistent, dominant, they can compliment my boy, that man, then Marcus's man, then, you know, it's easy.
Talk about it.
Doesn't really need much else, I promise you that. We've seen it before. What was the difference in the roster last year from 2 years ago? Not much, except they got like a Jalen Brunson to actually perform. They let go of a Kristaps Porzingis to replace it with like a Dorian Finney-Smith. Mm-hmm. Spencer Dinwiddie's out here playing like he did, 2 years ago? I mean,
yeah.
I promise you they don't need much. They just need consistency and one other dog, somebody with that pit bull in them. You know what I'm saying? My boy might have something to share.
I'm sorry, man. I was looking up the Tyreek Hill shit. And reading this shit is funny, even though it's not funny. It said, his baby mama said, he's terrified of you. He said, you need to be terrified of me too, bitch. What is wrong with this nigga?
Batman villain shit. I swear to God.
What is wrong with this nigga?
Batman villain shit, man. That's the shit. Batman come from out of the shadows.
He said, you need to be
What is wrong with this nigga?
No, good and well, man. That's how these niggas are, man.
Like, it's not funny, right? But right. Just the thought of a nigga saying that shit, like,
hey, geeking right now.
God, I'm sorry. I'm crying, laughing right now, like literally. Oh my God.
Look, man. Like, that's what it is, man. Like, that shit is comical. How like stupid niggas are, man. Like, oh my, and I mean, like, at the very least, like. I don't think she got hurt
In
that situation.
Well, no, he choked her one other time. That was a different time.
That was a different time?
Yeah. That was with
the same woman?
He had choked her before. That, I think that was a separate situation. And then the kid, it was a thing on abuse. The kid, and I think she recorded that nigga. So, Jesus Christ, man. It's, oh my God, man. I was crying, but goddamn, sorry, man.
These niggas are terrible, man.
They are.
But he's not Pet, but he's not Deshaun Watson, so I guess.
Yeah. That's Deshaun Watson. Oh, what was the other thing? Oh, Westbrook.
Go, man. Brick. Nah, man. So, like, this is what I don't get is he hears that shit every day, all day, from fans on the court. And Westbrook, don't get me wrong, he's been, like, very vocal about being, like, against what the fans are saying and stuff like that. But it's like, dog, like, you're literally hitting the side of the backboard. Like, what the fuck else are people going to do? Like, yeah, they're going to call you Westbrook. It's happening. It's going to happen, dude. Like,
yeah. That's the thing. So when that happened, when I saw it on the timeline, I kind of was looking at the responses, and I was like, yeah, you know what? Because I don't like Skip, obviously. But, and I actually think it's what mad unprofessional for him to call him that. That's just my opinion. I think that's like kind of name calling, and you supposed to like be a professional. You're supposed to be covering the sport like on a professional level, not on the podcast, us joking around type of level, but on a professional level. But the response people had was, well, it wasn't even that, what you're saying, which I agree with, like niggas call you that all the time, he said, say it to my face. And they was like, niggas pulled up receipts of him.
He would.
Of him saying it like Chris Bosh. And even though I really think like Chris Bosh just slapped shit at him. But,
Bosh Spice.
Yeah, you know
what's crazy, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that shit is like, that's name calling, dog. And that's some shit, like, as a grown man, like, you should get your ass whooped for. Like, for real, for real. Like, in all seriousness. But Russ, he's just a sensitive ass nigga because the nigga can't play no more. And he hadn't been good for a while. It's just, it was getting, I mean, all his flaws had been there.
Right.
It's just now he's, like, really bad. Like, the stuff he was bad at, he's really bad at. And the stuff that he was good at, I mean, if you look at the numbers, he averaged like 18 this year, which ain't bad, but it's how, you know what I'm saying? And it's just amplified. You're on the Lakers and shit. And it's crazy because he was just playing pretty good on the Wizards. I don't know what the numbers and the actual efficiency was. Never been really an efficient type of guy, I don't think. But he kind of lifted that team, and that wasn't that long ago. But that's the Lakers' fault, man.
Yeah, last season he was able to get him to the playoffs, him and Beal.
Yeah.
It's just, I think it's a situation, expectations thing, because one of the things that Westbrook was doing, he had the ball a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? Westbrook is a volume player, you know. He doesn't do well with low volume. Being the second, third option or whatever. Anthony Davis is out there. He's a guy, he needs the ball in his hands. The more he shoots, eventually he'll get on a roll. Want to say the Hornets game where LeBron and AD was out, and – it's just my personal experience because I watched the game, right? He had the worst half and the best half of the season. Same game. First half, I want to say he had like 5 points. Second half, and that was like his worst half of the season. He was like one for eight shooting or some bullshit like that, right?
Yeah.
And second half, he had 30 points. And it was the most points he had scored in a half since he was in like Oklahoma City. So, like, he literally had, like, that's kind of how he operates. So, yeah, at the end of the game, you look at, yeah, he had 35 on, like, 14 of 28 or some shit like that, right? And it's like, no, he might start 1 for 8, and then he might do 10 out of 15 the second half. Like, you just don't know.
Yeah.
So
I like, you know, what Darvin Ham said at that press conference and stuff. I mean, that's about as good as you can do a press conference when talking about the current roster they have and Russ, and knowing that Russ is probably going to be on the team. Like, it's a great chance he's going to be on the team. I thought it was hilarious that the Pacers just laughed at them when they tried to trade. They tried to get Malcolm Brogdon for him, like, straight up. It's like, nigga, no. The niggas start laughing. Like, come on, dog. Like,
I would laugh, too.
I would.
But, I mean,
and how
again, often... what would you say?
I was going to say, how often do the Pacers get to laugh at the Lakers, too? So
exactly. You got to give it to the man that one time. Man, fuck y'all.
Yeah.
Fuck you. Probably when they tried to call for Paul George also. Whatever package they – that's when the Lakers were ass. Whatever package they had for Paul George, then I'm pretty sure they laughed then too.
Did you see that shit I put in there in the chat? I know we about to end this. With Perk on JJ
Redick. Yeah, man, what? That's some wild shit, man. Like, and don't get me wrong, it's Kendrick Perkins, so I do not think that he's above it. I think he's 100% telling the truth. But
To admit it.
Man, to admit it is crazy. And I kind of respect him for it, for the honesty.
I respect him for it, and I don't like him at all. Like, I hate him as a commentator. Like, his voice alone is so annoying, and I don't think he really has much value besides people being entertained by kind of his clownness.
Bro, they got this nigga on 2K. You talk about can't stand him. Man, what? You hear him actually try to read his lines on 2K? That shit sucks.
Dude, I can't stand him, dude. I'm from the South. I my people country. And he from
Texas, I think.
Texas, and very country Texas accent. But I hate it, dog. I thought he was from Alabama or somewhere like that at first, and then I realized he's from Texas. And I was just like, I think he's from Odessa or something like that. I was just like, nigga, shut up.
It's like middle of nowhere, Texas.
Yeah.
It's so tumbleweeds and cowboy boots.
Absolutely. And I saw that come across, and I was just like, when I saw the tweet was like him praying on LeBron's downfall, I was like, I gotta see this. And then once he started going into that, JJ was trying to clean it up for him and shit. Like, oh, you probably thought he wanted, like, you know, you wanted him to
sprain
his stomach bug. Or he was like, no, I wanted him to not be able to play. Like,
which, don't get me wrong, like, because LeBron, that series, that was just coming up, if I'm remembering correctly. The series that him and Paul Pierce went back and forth, but like, it was like 54 and 45 or whatever, and they were going shot for shot in the second half. I think that was the same game he's talking about, that game 6.
I don't know, but didn't Celtics win that series? End up winning?
They did. They went to the championship. They won a championship that year.
Okay. And then And then he went to Miami the next year, right?
2 years later.
Oh, 2 years later. Okay.
I think. No, 3 years later. If I'm thinking of the right one, I can't remember if that was the same year. He said 2008. So I'm thinking.
Oh, yeah. So that was a little, because I think LeBron went 2000, summer 2011 or 10. Yeah, something like that. I think it was 11.
Yeah,
you're right. So, but that was funny. I got a good laugh. I was like, yo, that's fucked up. Because that was one thing my dad always said, was like, you never wish an injury on anybody. Not a Duke player. Like, that's just fucked up, right? But that, hey, I respect that he admitted it. That he just admitted it. Even though I probably wouldn't have.
I mean, that's, like I said, like, for one, maybe I didn't see the context of the whole conversation. Maybe that was him, you know, big up LeBron, you know, the props. I was so scared of LeBron. That's what he was saying. He was so scared, for people that didn't hear it. He said he was so scared of LeBron after what he saw in game 6. I think that's the one that I'm talking about, where him and Paul Pierce are going back and forth. And he said, coming into game 7, he said he went to sleep and prayed. He woke up to some news that LeBron tore his ACL or something, was unable to play game 7. That's just how scared he was. And he's talking about this same series where everyone knows he came in the lane and dunked on KG. I think that was like game 1. And he was like, man, he said, I just saw it in his eyes. He's like, this nigga different.
Yeah. Yeah. And I did take it as it was more props to LeBron than just like, oh, I'm going to just say some hateful shit tonight. You know what I'm saying? It definitely was props to LeBron, which, hey, man. That should be on LeBron's bus, too. And Kendrick Perkins wanted him to get hurt because he was that scared of him.
Speaking of, it's a little different vein, but you saw what Max Kellerman said to Jay Williams.
No, what did he say?
Man, no, so Max Kellerman or Jay Williams was talking about, man, these young athletes, you know, with the money and stuff like that, you know, you're going to pay these guys this money. They're turning things down for whatever. And he was like, it just doesn't make sense, you know, blah, blah, blah. And he was like, yeah, he's like, you never know. You can just hop on that motorcycle and just ride away.
Wow. Out of bounds. Time out. Play. He really said that?
Yo, I gotta send it to you, man.
You got to.
I might have flubbed up the actual wording of it, but that's what Max Kellerman said.
I got the spirit of it, and I know how Max Kellerman talks. And dog, if let's just say him and Jay Williams had a relationship, me and you have, I still can't say that shit on no damn ESPN to you
on the air, man. Like,
I can't say that. I can say that when we drinking, talking shit. I cannot say that on air, dog. What is wrong with him? What did Jay? Yeah, just send it to me. Yeah. You fine? Cause I got so many questions. But wow.
Here, go right here, man. This is.
So before we get out here, what do you think is gonna happen with Baker Mayfield, man?
Baker Mayfield will be a Carolina Panther by week one. I'm certain that the Panthers will cave and end up paying more than they want to pay because Sam Darnold isn't it. I think they know that. Matt Rule doesn't have the leeway I think he thought he had. The whole this is a 5-year process or whatever the fuck he said. This on a 7-year deal. He's going into year four, and I don't think he has until the end of this year. I think he's got to make something. He's got to win more than 5 games. And Sam Darnold's not winning 5 games, so.
Yeah.
Baker can win 6 or 7 games.
And so that leads me to what I was saying on Twitter, which is I am in the market for a new team. I think I'm done. I really think I'm done. And I don't know who that team will be. Because I don't want to just pick a bandwagon. I want a team that is ran pretty good. I might go, now that Ben's not there, I might think about Pittsburgh. I remember I got a picture of me as a little kid with Pittsburgh uniform and shit like that on. So this is before the Carolina Panthers were even a team.
Right.
Oh, no, I'm going to shop around, man. I'm going to see what this year and see where I know it's probably not going to be a Florida team. But I
think I'm – Go ahead, Jacksonville up, man.
Oh, no, I will not do that. Now, that I will not do.
Shit, the Dolphins right there, man. You know what I'm saying?
I'll go to Miami.
If it was me, I'd go Miami just because –
They got good colors, man.
Man, they got good colors, but my family, on my mom's side, you know, my great-granddad and all them, they from Miami. And he's been Miami everything. He when he was alive, you know, he was a Dolphins fan. He tried hard when I was a kid. I mean real hard. Like, bought me Dolphins everything. My parents like, no, like, stop. But he was like, no. He's like, I'm going to get this nigga.
They got nice hard. Colors, dog. They got good colors, man. So I'm partial to teal anyway. Or aqua, or whatever they call their green or blue or whatever that is. So I might be switching, man. My dad was a 49ers fan. He never converted to a Panthers fan growing up. So I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. But yeah. That's all I got.
I don't think I can ever drop either my team. You know what I'm saying? I can't drop the Panthers. Can't drop the Hornets. Not completely, but they can for sure take a back seat.
Or maybe I need to do like I was listening to Joe Budden pod and they was talking about alternate teams. He's like, now I get why, because he's a Knicks fan. He's like, now I get why people be having these alternate teams, or they be like, oh, I just root for players. And I'm like, maybe I just need an alternate. Maybe that's what, because it's hard for me to just because I
go all in on these niggas.
I be repping out here, dog. Like I just don't wear like North Carolina shit when I'm in North Carolina. I wear it out here so niggas know. You know what I'm saying? So yeah. It's gonna be hard for me to just drop that, you know what I mean? But I'm in the market, dog.
Look, man, I already had the Mavericks. I know I've said it on Twitter before, but I'll say it again. Like, obviously Hornets left in like 2002. I was a kid and I was really unhappy about that. So playing video games and whatnot, you know, there was no more Charlotte teams. I played with the Mavericks. That's how that happened. Feel me? And then we got the Bobcats, and then the Bobcats weren't even
cool.
It was hard.
Cool colors. They didn't have a cool mascot. Nothing.
Nah, man. It was hard to get it. I mean, it was cool because they were just the team was a team was back, but they were really bad. So the first year was actually not terrible because, I mean, just having the team back. But then they were so bad and it was so long for them to get respectable. You know, I mean, plus at the same time, you know, Dirk was winning MVP and going to the finals. And, you know, Dirk was my, you know, one of my favorite players. And it strictly came from video games, strictly came from NBA Live.
Yeah.
Straight like that.
But that's how it be, though.
I was following them niggas. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, I was like seven, you know? So I was like following these niggas. And that's where that came from with me liking the Mavericks. And I actually have stayed liking the Mavericks, but, you know, just on the backseat. You know, like, I still watch, I get the Mavericks updates and shit on my phone and shit like that. You never know.
You really keep
I'll keep it in the back pocket. You know what I'm saying? I don't be copping Mavericks gear and shit like that no more. I used to have a Dirk jersey. Used to have a Mavericks, you know, some shit. But I don't do that no more. I kind of went all in on the Hornets, especially once they got the brand changed back to the Hornets. And that was kind of it.
Yeah. The Mavs were a little cool when I was younger because they had, at one point, they had Jason Kidd, Jimmy Jackson, and Jamal Mashburn. It was like three J's.
Yeah.
And supposedly they broke up because they all were sleeping with Tony Braxton or something like that. That was the rumor, but I heard it's not true. But look that up. All right. That's all I got.
Shoot, man.
A little old head news for y'all.
Talk to him, man. Well, shit, you ain't got nothing else?
No, sir.
I don't got nothing else. All right, man. Episode 99, Pick Up Podcast. We are out.
Chill.